Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio on a Witness Wednesday.
I'm on the air, and there's all these listeners. It'd be great.
What's
your first name?
Good thing she didn't swear.
Lenny, do you have any certain religious preferences?
I'm a Christian Buddhist.
Kind of a Christian Buddhist. I'm going to hand you the cell phone. What was your name again?
Lenny.
Todd, are you listening in?
A Christian Buddhist?
Christian Buddhist. Boy, isn't that an oxymoron, Lenny? No, not really, huh? Well, you're going to talk to my friend Todd. I'm going to pass the phone to you, and I really appreciate you. What are you eating, walnuts? Pecan. Oh, thank you. He just gave me a pecan. That's great. I don't really like them, though, but I hear they're good for you. Oh, thank you. Okay, Todd, I've got to set up the situation. I'm at the fire department. It's actually a fire administrative department, and I brought cookies. Went over there by faith, hoping that they'd let me in, and they did. And I've talked to like all the fire department, and they're all chicken to be on the to be on the radio. None of them would do it. So anyway, there's this guy that shows up out of nowhere, and we're on air, and I'm like going crazy because we've only got we've got no time left. You're going to say, "Hey, Trish, are you ready to go?" And I'm going to say, "Well, no, not really." And this guy Lenny is standing right there, and what do you know? He's a Christian Buddhist.
Wow. How often do you run into a Christian Buddhist? Not too often. Well, you're right.
Weird.
It's an oxymoron. Somebody who's in the Bible Belt who's a little bit on the confused side. All right, let's give it a go, shall we?
Okay, here we are.
Well,
Lenny's on the air.
Bringing the cookies. Very, very smart.
You're on the air.
Didn't work, but very smart.
Hello, my name's Lenny.
Lenny, how do you do? Thanks very much for being on the program today.
Sure.
Hey, Lenny, I want to tell you about myself real quick, and then I want you to tell me what you think of me, okay?
Okay.
Okay. I am a member of the Feline Club, and the charter for the Feline Club is to love cats and to rescue cats who are in danger or who are abandoned. Okay? That's a little something about me. Now, I want to tell you something that I did yesterday, all right? Three doors down from us, there's this, I think it's a Persian cat. We, with the kids, had so much fun. My son has this tennis racket. And we found that if you hit the cat in the backside really hard with the tennis racket, it makes him really just yelp and make this horrible cat sound. And we ended up breaking two of his back legs, and he kind of just scampered off into the woods. But my son thought it was a hoot, and we laughed, and we had a great time of bonding.
So you're just setting me up to tell you what a bad person you are.
Nope, I'm setting you up to explain what is a Christian Buddhist. How can you be this, which is contrary to that? I can't say that I love cats and then beat them with a tennis racket. To say that you're a Christian and a Buddhist is just as big of a contradiction. Explain.
Have you studied both?
Yes, sir.
You studied both?
Yes, sir. Tell me, how do you harmonize Jesus Christ and Buddhism?
Well, I use Buddhist teachings to help me be a better Christian.
Okay. So what's wrong with the Bible?
Nothing's wrong with the Bible.
Apparently. Then you shouldn't need Buddhist teachings.
All truth is truth.
Well, if it's true, but if the Bible is everything you need, then you don't need anything else.
Eat the chicken and throw out the bones. Quit being so dogmatic about your Christianity and rejecting all truth.
Okay, well, I don't think...
Except your own.
Okay, but Jesus said that he was the only truth and Buddhism isn't true.
He said, "I am the truth, the way, and the life."
That's pretty clear.
He did not say he was the only truth.
Sure he did. There's a definite article. I am the way, the truth, the life.
I'm really not going to argue with you. I know this is what you guys like to do.
No, I'm just asking. Harmonize the two.
You know what you're doing.
All right.
How long is it going to be before you ask the listeners for money?
In about 7 minutes, thank you.
So, and then what are you going to do with that money?
I'm going to buy a big house. Lenny, friend, let's chat for just a second. What does it mean to be a Christian? Who is Jesus?
He's the Son of God, Savior.
Mm-hmm.
died on the cross for our sins.
Yeah.
And Buddha was a great teacher of truth, and Buddhists don't worship Buddha. They only take his teachings to make them better people and try to attain some kind of enlightenment.
Uh-huh.
And if you eat the chicken and throw out the bones, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well, but see,
but most Christians are dogmatic and right-wing enough just to be asinine.
Mm-hmm. Is that a Buddhist teaching?
What's that? Being asinine?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, Lenny.
The way you came at me was kind of asinine.
Okay, Lenny, let's use a different word.
Of the cat telling, you know,
yeah.
And then making an analogy.
Do you think the analogy didn't work quite right?
Do you think that the way you came at me was Christian at all?
Well, I was trying to be playful, but apparently didn't play that way, huh? I'm sorry for that.
I'm just wondering why, controversy, I guess, sells.
No, here's what I think. Okay, then I'll tell you what. You correct me then, all right? Here's what I see, all right? You tell me how I've got this wrong, all right, Lenny? I believe that Jesus said that he and his teaching and his words alone are truth, and everything else, every false god, every false religious system, including Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, everything else should be rejected and guarded against. And any teaching outside of the Bible should be avoided because he's the only truth and his teachings are sufficient and the Bible is everything you need for life and godliness. And I believe the Buddhist teaching is, it's not a eat the chicken and spit out the bones. The problem is the chicken is contrary to Jesus. It's about ultimately dying.
Buddha?
Pardon me?
They don't worship Buddha.
I didn't say that. I didn't. But they worship a system, don't they? And you tell me they don't venerate Buddha and his teachings? Of course they do. And that's idolatry.
They worship Buddha.
That's idolatry.
As a deity.
I didn't say that.
If Buddha's not a deity, then he's not an idol.
You don't have to be a deity to be venerated or to be worshipped. I can worship a car. Right?
What was your name again?
My name's Todd.
Todd.
Yeah. So, Lenny, the Buddhist system, what does it say about the afterlife?
I'm not sure. What does it say about the afterlife?
Okay. I believe that Buddhism, depending on which stripe you're talking about, basically, if you get rid of all of your desires in this life, we can do away with suffering. Ultimately, when you die, you enter into a kind of a cosmic nothing, and with no memory, nothing. You're just connected to a cosmic nothingness. That is so contrary to Jesus' words that said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. Buddhism teaches reincarnation. The Bible teaches it is appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. They're so contrary, Lenny. It's not a chicken and bones type of situation. It's a false religion system. And it's contrary to Christianity. Christianity offers grace and mercy and complete forgiveness. Buddhism says you've got to work your way, be good, get rid of suffering, get rid of desires, and maybe you'll be reincarnated to a higher state until you're finally snuffed out. They're
contrary.
Totally
wrong.
I am.
It doesn't say that you have to get rid of suffering. It says life is suffering.
Yeah, and the whole goal is to strive for getting rid of it so that you can attain nothingness.
You're living a lie.
Okay.
And your Christianity is pseudo. It's faux.
Okay.
And so, don't come at me like this.
Well, you said I was
Christ.
Okay.
When you're totally wrong about Buddhism.
But you didn't know the answer to the question.
Let's have a little compassion. Let's have a little tolerance. Let's have a little love.
Lenny, I'm not beating you up. I'm just saying you're wrong.
You guys forget Matthew 44 through 45, 44 through 47.
What? There's
you totally just forget
only 28
it.
Chapters
Jesus
in the book.
Jesus' own words.
Yeah. Which ones?
544 through 47 of Matthew.
Are we talking
about Jesus' own words? And, you don't even adhere to that. So don't try to put down Buddhism.
Okay, so are you talking about judging?
When you can't even do your own doctrine.
Okay, hold on a second. So you're talking about we shouldn't judge other people? Is that what you're saying?
544 through 47.
All righty. I think that's where Jesus said, judge not lest ye be judged. Is that what you're talking about?
No. Do you not even know the Bible?
Well, I know it's in the Beatitudes. I'm sorry. I don't know that particular chapter.
If you're going to attack me, I could do in kind, but I just really don't want to.
All righty. Okay.
544 through 47.
Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you.
Exactly.
All right. So is it, Lenny?
You don't do that. And anyway, is America in such great shape because of Christianity that you can just deny any truth?
I would say actually it is. But Lenny, I've only got 2 minutes till we ask for money.
It is? Have you been looking at the news lately?
Yeah. Lenny.
All these Christians that are doing so well.
Lenny, if somebody's...
Check your own heart.
Okay, I will do that. Lenny, if somebody's running toward a cliff and you yelled to them, please stop, you're going in the wrong direction, and you yelled it loudly, Is that loving?
That's kind of what I'm trying to do to you, Bubba.
And I'm trying to do it back. So one of us is right, one of us is wrong, and it's Mr. Bubba.
I don't think either one of us are wrong or right. We're both on our own path.
There we go. I see. So everybody's right?
You're on your own path, man. Providence will lead you the way you should go.
Okay.
Attacking me is not helping you a bit.
Lenny, I'm not attacking you. I'm trying to encourage you to consider the contradiction in your worldview.
From the time I picked up the phone, you were all about, you're going to proselytize and make everybody just like you.
Well,
full of dead men's bones, white sepulchers.
Lenny, would you like people to be like you?
They are on their own path.
Oh, okay. Okay, so
I'm not
Lenny,
judge you.
Lenny,
not
only a minute till I ask, for money here.
Judge.
Lenny?
That's very arrogant, judging someone else.
You never judge
anything? When your sin is so prevalent before you.
Okay. Are you sure that you're not judging me, Lenny? By calling me those names? You sure?
What names did I call you?
I wouldn't repeat them, sir. All righty. Hey, Lenny? I'm sorry this got off to a wrong foot. My apologies for coming at you a little strong in the beginning,
man.
All right, sir? My apologies.
Man. You're putting words in my mouth. I didn't call you any names.
All right, I'm sorry, Lenny.
And you said I called you dirty names.
Will you accept my apologies?
You're going to edit this and then broadcast it to the audience?
I hope you'll accept my apology. I've got to ask for money now. If you'd like to send...
This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here today. We do always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. We also love hearing from you. Question, comment, conundrum, or snark, or if you want to share your wretched story, please send them on. Beep talk us, 1-877-282-BEEP. Two guidelines, keep it clean, please, and if you would, be as pithy as possible, thank you. If beep talk doesn't work for you, email always does, idea@wretched.org. Let me share one with you, may I? From Kirsty. My husband and I have been watching your show for over 2 years now. Your segments were instrumental in my salvation in 2016, so thank you for your show. I basically binge-watched everything you'd put out over the past several years because I simply couldn't get enough. Kirsty. So if you would, share your story with us, idea@wretched.org or 1-877-282-BEEP. To make more stories like this possible, join with us, won't you? wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they had to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Is there someone in your life you fear is a false convert? Would you like to know more about true and false conversion? Then you want Are You a Rotten Fish? It is the perfect gospel booklet for you. Are You a Rotten Fish is a thorough presentation of true and false conversions. In other words, it's the difference between good fish and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish will compare and contrast the true gospel versus false gospels, and the correct response, repent and trust, versus all the incorrect responses, you know, things like asking Jesus into your heart. So get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish today at wretched.org/fish. wretched.org/fish. So if you're not absolutely certain you're a good fish, or you know some rotten fish and you'd like to figure out why they aren't good fish, get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish? wretched.org/fish. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Important dates in Christian history. 1273. Thomas Aquinas completes work on Summa Theologica, the theological masterpiece of the Middle Ages. Aquinas synthesized faith and reason, incorporating Aristotelian philosophy into his work, and provided a theological framework for Catholic doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We're going to go out to the streets and do some fishing with Trish. Hello, Trish.
Hi, Todd. Hopefully this one won't be as difficult.
You know, as I thought back on the last little deal that we did with Lenny, maybe I came at him, too hard in the beginning. I didn't think so, but maybe I pushed him too hard in the beginning.
No, Todd, I completely disagree with you, and this is why. His relative, one of his relatives, came out of the little store that they were in and said, oh, boy, he loves to argue. He loves to pick a fight. And I go, really? And she goes, yeah. She goes, he gets fired up about stuff like this. So I don't think that, again, I didn't listen to you, Todd, but I think that he was already ready to argue.
Once again, I was a sweetheart. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for the Christian support. Love the encouragement. What's going on, Trish?
Yeah, well, I'm at a little video store next to where the fire department was at, and I found a nice lady that was so willing to just be on the air, which was a relief for me because I got rejected about 50 times today. Her name's Vanessa.
Hey, buck up, camper. Hang in there. It's always worth it, okay?
It is. It really is.
Rough day fishing. I understand.
So her name is Vanessa, and she is Catholic, and I asked her to describe herself in one word, and she said that she's funny. I asked her to describe God in one word, and she said that he's peaceful, and she does think that she'll go to heaven. She's pretty sure she will when she dies. So her name's Vanessa. And
well done, Trish. Let's have a chat with Vanessa, shall we?
Thank you, Todd. Here you are, Vanessa.
All right. Please let this go better.
Hello?
Hey, Vanessa, how do you do?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay, I'm gonna do something that you're just gonna want to poke me in the eye for. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. You said in one word to describe yourself, you're funny, right?
I guess so.
Okay. go ahead. Be funny.
Can't be funny.
Don't you hate that?
It's a natural thing.
You know, that's the worst thing in the world when somebody does that to you, isn't it? Here's the funniest person you'll ever meet. Oh, don't do that. There's no way. So if you find yourself funny, what's your second best quality?
I don't know. I guess maybe I'm humble since I can't think of good qualities.
All right. You're humble. All righty. And then the third best quality you have is?
I guess I am resourceful. I don't know.
You're what?
They said just one quality, so I didn't really.
All right, that's okay. So now I'm gonna do another list with you, okay?
Okay.
I want your bad qualities. Give me one or two bad qualities.
Patient.
That's not a bad one. That's a good quality.
No, impatient.
Oh, impatient. Yeah. Oh, you get a little anxious. All righty.
And probably a lot of anxiety. I'm
oh,
a
person. Okay. Yeah, you worry about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else?
I'm sure I could go on and on, but those are probably the big ones.
All right. I'm going to see if we can add to the list, all right?
Okay.
All righty. Have you ever told a lie?
Of course.
Uh-huh. So can I write on, I'm making a list now for you, Vanessa. What would what would I write down? If you tell lies, could I write down liar? Would that be okay?
Sure.
All righty. Have you ever stolen anything?
I don't think. So maybe when I was a kid, nothing that I can think of really.
Okay. All right. But whether it was a long time ago, a small object.
Sure it's something I have.
All right. Could I write down thief? Would that be fair?
Sure.
All righty, thief. All righty. How's about this one? Have you ever murdered anybody?
No.
All righty. I'm going to quote a Bible verse for you, okay?
Okay.
The Bible says that he who hates his brother is a murderer. Have you ever been just hated somebody, been really angry, torqued, flipped somebody off?
Sure.
Alrighty, can I write down murderer of heart at heart? Would that be okay?
No.
No, you don't like that one?
No, well, because I don't think it's valid, and I don't think every quote in the Bible applies to everything in life today.
Alrighty.
And I think you could pick any quote out of the Bible and try to think of a way to twist that to be something negative towards somebody.
Alright. So then, see, when I read that verse and it says, he who hates his brother is a murderer,
mm-hmm.
It seems to say that if I'm angry inside, that, well, it doesn't mean that I've murdered somebody physically. That's really horrible. But that's my heart, that I've got a bad heart. How do you interpret that verse?
I would have to read the whole context.
Oh, like, good for you. Okay,
rather
fair
than
enough.
Just the right. one snippet right. of
enough.
It, but I don't see that as something to be a valid. Just because you hate somebody or feel like at the time that you have anger that you hate somebody doesn't mean that you really, truly hate them.
All right. Okay, let's try this one. I'll give you a quote from Jesus. Tell me what you do with this one. You ready?
Did you hear this quote directly from Jesus?
Read it in the book.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll just have to make the assumption that what's written in the book is true. Tell me what you do with this one. Because you know what? You're right, Vanessa. We've got to understand the context. So in the Sermon on the Mount, mm-hmm. Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, mm-hmm. if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
How do you interpret that?
I think that one might be a little more of a possibility. That's a little more general. That's less general than the first statement.
Okay. All right. So have you ever done that? Looked with lust?
Sure.
Alrighty, so could I, on the list of bad Vanessa qualities, could I write down adulterer at heart?
Sure.
Alrighty. All right, let's try this. The Bible says, I know I'm giving you some Bible quotes here. The Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. That's pretty straightforward. You die, you get judged by God. Would you
right.
agree?
Sure.
Okay. So if that happens to you and you die and God judges you and he knows your heart and every thought, every deed, and he knows your list better than I do, that mm-hmm. that you're a thief, you have anxiety, which might indicate that you're not trusting God very much, a liar and an adulterer at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Vanessa, would he find you innocent or guilty on that day?
Innocent.
How?
How?
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure the Bible also says that as long as you ask forgiveness for your sins and you believe
well,
that Jesus died for your sins.
Okay.
But,
all right, that's a little different.
I believe that God already knows that humans are incapable of living completely sin-free.
I agree. No, I agree with that. Yeah, that's right.
I think God looks at your situation, things that have occurred in your life, and I think God truly knows where your heart is, whether you made mistakes or not.
Well, you know, let me try to reason with you on that one, all right? If a criminal pleaded that with a judge... Judge, mm-hmm. I know I did those wrong things. I broke those laws, but I really didn't mean to. I didn't quite feel that way. I maybe lost control a little bit. Does the judge just say, oh, never mind? Or does the judge say, you're guilty, off to jail with you?
I think it depends on each individual circumstance, just like as God would do. The judge would look at each individual circumstance
okay.
if it was
all right.
somebody that's committed the same crime over and over and over again and never learned from any of the
right.
mistakes, then obviously they need to be taught a lesson. Whereas I don't think that in general what I'm saying or what you're pointing out would be a situation where I've continuously committed the same sins over and over again and haven't grown as a person. I think the key is, excuse me.
Well, Vanessa, let me just ask you on that one right there. How many times have you told lies?
I don't know. I have to count them.
How many? You don't even have to answer this. How many times have you looked with lust?
I obviously
and yeah, no. And besides that, it just takes one time to be guilty of a crime. Vanessa,
sure.
would you
I don't believe in that type of a God. I don't believe that God is going to look at me and say, oh gosh, you know, five times you looked at another person and thought, oh, that person's hot, and guess what? You're going to burn in hell forever.
Well,
I don't believe in that kind of God.
But that's what the Bible says happens to lawbreakers.
The Bible says a lot of things, and I think anybody could pinpoint different places in the Bible and turn it into whatever
Vanessa,
they want. And I also think that the Bible
one.
Is
Vanessa?
Not...
Vanessa?
Hold on. If you're gonna make comments, I should be able to make comments.
But you've made a lot. The Bible says that everybody sins and falls short of his standard. So either
mm-hmm.
you're right or the Bible's right. Who should I trust here?
You can trust whatever you want. I don't trust the Bible 100%. I trust what I have read in the Bible, because I believe that the Bible is interpreted
okay,
differently.
So
each individual person and the people that wrote the Bible interpreted that themselves as well.
Yeah, so Vanessa, the Bible, Jesus himself said that there's a place prepared for people who have broken the laws. It's called hell,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you've broken the laws, wouldn't it be right for you to go to that place?
No.
Yes?
No.
No. So is there any way I could possibly convince you?
Every person in the world is going to hell.
I agree that every person should go to hell.
A single person in the world that has not committed any sin.
I agree with you completely. We're all in big trouble unless something happens.
What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think that our predicament is very bad. But before we can understand some of the stuff that you were talking about, that God is good and he's kind, I think first we need to come to an understanding that we're not good people, Vanessa, that because we tell lies and we steal things and we lust, God sees us as bad people, and we need a Savior, desperately bad. Would you agree with that?
That Savior was Jesus.
Right. And we need him because we're desperately wicked, and without him, we're going to be thrown to hell. Would you agree?
I think that that's already been made very clear. I think that's one of the first things I said, is that I recognize that Jesus died for my sins,
and
I believe as long as I ask for forgiveness of my sins, then
Vanessa,
I'm gonna
have you finish the conversation with Trish, and I'm very grateful for your time.
Back with more. This is Wretched Radio.
Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough law and gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joel describes a series of disasters that serve as God's judgment and a warning that an even more severe day of judgment is coming. When you see the power and fury of creation, do not fear nature, but fear him who controls nature. But if God's people will turn to him in repentance, he will be compassionate and rescue them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
To the streets we go. Oh, Trish.
Hi, I'm at South Lake, Texas. It's beautiful today. Not as windy as I'm used to. Well, somewhat.
More trees.
Todd, I guess I just didn't realize how much I missed the California weather until I was there this past weekend. It's just, people really do pay for the weather there.
Well, you pay for it in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you really do. You know, I mean, you can keep your hair in place, and it will stay in place all day long, but here in Texas, forget it. Your hair is going to be messed up the second you walk outside.
Okay, so let's just do a little list, shall we? You live in California, and your hair stays in place. Which is nice. Yeah, and you get spots on your lungs. Okay, so there's a little trade-off. I guess that could seem fair to some. Let's see, you live in California, and you don't get windburned, or your picnic, the plates don't fly away. That's a good thing right there. Well, the taxes are low if you live in California. The educational, well, you got Arnold in the, well, let's move on, shall we?
We better, Todd. We better.
All right, what do you?
Yeah, so I'm at the South Lake Town Center here in Texas with a young girl. Her name is Sadie, and she was born in Berlin, Berlin, Germany, where you've been. And she really doesn't have any connection there. She came to the U.S. when she was four. She was raised Mormon. Her mom is a Mormon, but her mom, I guess you'd call her a backslidden Mormon. And Sadie does not practice anything at all. She hopes that if she were to die, she'd go to heaven. I asked her, Todd, what her number one fear is in life is, and I'm not going to tell you. You're just going to have to ask her because it's just a perfect segue for the gospel.
All right. Okay.
Her number one fear in life, it just was like, wow.
Yeah.
And she said recently she's been going through really, really tough times. I don't know what. I didn't get into details, but she said she's really been praying. And I go, praying to who? She goes, God, whoever he is.
Wow.
I've just been praying. So things have been going on in her life. She just seems really ripe. For
all
the
right.
gospel.
And
that's what I observed.
All right, let's have at it, shall we, Trish?
Okay, here she is. Here's Sadie talking.
Alrighty.
Hi.
Hey,
how are
Sadie,
you?
How do you do?
Good. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm trying to remember. Your mom is kind of a backslidden Mormon, is that right?
That's true. She was raised as a Mormon, and I went to Mormon church my whole life, but she left the church at 8 because she had a problem with the bishop, and
what is it called when you're a backslidden Mormon? Something Jack.
I honestly can tell you. I don't think I know.
It's a Jack Mormon, I think, is what it's called. When you leave the Mormon with the Mormon church, the Mormon community, I think you're called a Jack Mormon.
I believe that. She still practices by herself, but she does not attend a church.
All right. Now, you grew up for at least for a few years in Berlin in Germany, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, I got a quiz question.
It was outside of Berlin. It was a town called Rentown. It was a farm town.
Oh, okay. I bet that was really sweet, actually.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of that?
Vaguely.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Okay, so here's, I got a quiz question for you, all right? This is a German religion question. Who is the most famous German theologian of all time?
I don't know. I'm not even going to try.
Oh, Sadie, Martin Luther.
I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Martin Luther. That was his stomping grounds, you know, the Lutheran denomination. Okay, here's my second quiz question for you. What is the difference between what Martin Luther taught and the Mormon Church?
The Mormon Church has their own Bible they call the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, that's right. What
else? And they study that as opposed to the Bible.
That's a big one. What about theology? What's the difference between the two of them? Do you know?
No, I know they worship the Holy Ghost, and they see three different separate spirits instead of one.
Yeah, they also don't think that Jesus is eternal. They think that Jesus is a created being.
Oh, yeah, because they don't like to wear the cross.
Yeah,
I know that.
Oh, is that right? And then the Father is a created being. And here's maybe the big one, Sadie. Martin Luther quoted the Bible and said, "By grace we are saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not by working for it so that nobody can boast." And Mormonism is a work-righteous religion. You got to do good. You got to don't drink, don't smoke, do this, do that. And maybe you'll get to a certain level of heaven when you die.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that concept as well.
Yeah. Okay, so Sadie, let's kind of put these two theologies to the test, shall we?
Sure.
All right. Do you think you could possibly work your way to heaven by being good?
No, I think you have to want to be good out of your heart as opposed to wanting to be good to get to heaven.
Okay, that's fair enough. But the question is, can you be good enough to get to heaven?
Sure.
How?
Living your life with compassion and thinking of others. And I guess some people would say having God is a big part of your life.
Okay. So if a horrible thing happened to you right now and you died and God judged you, do you think you've been good enough to get to heaven?
Honestly, I do think so.
All right. Now, have you ever broken any of God's laws?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. That was pretty honest. So what is he going to do with those things? Well, like, I presume you've told lies, yes?
Of course.
Okay. I presume that somewhere in your career, maybe even as a child, you stole some things, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? Taking the Lord's name in vain?
Yes, I've done that.
Mm. Were you naughty as a child?
No, I was a very straight-laced child, actually. Yeah.
But did your mom ever have to say, do this a second time or a third time because you just didn't listen?
Of course, I think that's part of being a child.
Oh, I don't agree or disagree with you at all. I was the most naughty little boy. Okay, have you ever been, Jesus said that if you just look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Guilty or innocent?
Guilty.
All right, like the rest of us. All right, Jesus said that if you're just unjustly angry with somebody, the Bible actually says that you're a murderer at heart. So if you've ever flipped somebody off driving down the road or swore at somebody, we're murderers at heart. Okay? And Sadie, I'm the first one to confess I've broken all of those laws. And you have to.
Oh, I have to.
Yeah. So here's your situation. You might have had nice intentions. You might have been really trying hard. But the reality is you're a lawbreaker. So there you stand before God. He'd find you guilty of breaking his laws. Doesn't sound to me like you have a chance of going to heaven.
Maybe not, but I like to think that.
Yeah, I do too.
If God created us, he knows how our minds work.
Yeah, he understands, but it's just because he understands, it doesn't let us off the hook. You know, the police officer who understands why somebody broke the law or was speeding, well, we were in a hurry, I understand, but you still broke the law. It doesn't get us out of our predicament, which is we have a debt to pay to the one against whom we've committed the crime, which is God. So here's what we got, Sadie. All right? Martin Luther taught one thing about our predicament, and the Mormons teach another thing. The Mormons say you have to be really good, and maybe, just maybe, you'll get there. But what we've just discovered, there's no way to get there. The Bible teaches you can be saved from the wrath of God through faith by believing in Jesus Christ. But the reason that works, the reason that's going to get you out of hot water, well, the reason it'll get you out of hell is because God just doesn't go, oh, well, girls will be girls, I'm going to let it go, or I sympathize, I understand why they do bad things, but because Jesus Christ, what did he do 2,000 years ago?
He died on the cross for our sins.
There you go. That's the good news. That's how you get to heaven. We got to have a legal transaction take place here. Sadie is in debt to God. Jesus Christ paid the fine. And so you can go to heaven, not because you're good, but because you're bad, and you've been forgiven by a very good God who died to save you from the wrath that he is storing up for people for breaking his laws. That's the good news of the gospel. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, but there's if you will, let's call it a catch. There's a catch to this, Sadie. Forgiveness is available to you because of what Jesus did. The question now is, how do you get that forgiveness? Any idea?
You ask for it and change your ways.
Beautiful. That's repentance. You're right. Yep, that's what the Bible says. You got to repent. You got to agree with God. You're not good. You're bad. You've broken his laws. You deserve to go to hell. You agree with him that he's good, that he died on a cross to take the punishment for your sins. You stop sinning. You turn from your sins. Doesn't mean you'll never sin again, but you just have a new attitude about your sins. And you put your trust in Jesus Christ and him alone, not the Mormon Jesus, where he's created and he's the brother of the devil, but the God, Jesus Christ, and all of your sins will be forgiven, and you'll go to heaven by grace alone, through faith alone. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir, it does.
All right. Tell me, Trish said that there's the number one thing that you fear in life. What was she talking about? She wouldn't tell me what it was.
It's constant chaos. It's my number one fear.
What do you mean?
To be living in constant chaos. I'm only 18, but ever since I can remember, it's always been chaos. And after a problem is resolved, another one pops up that seems to be harder to deal with.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that. You know what? I would love to be able to... Here's what some Christians might tell you. They might be inclined to say, hey, Sadie, come to Jesus and ask him into your heart and your life will get better. I don't think the Bible says that. I can't make that guarantee to you, but there's as chaotic as your life maybe has been, and it probably has been, there's a much bigger issue at stake here. There's a bigger thing going on, and that is you and your sins and being forgiven and being in a right relationship with God. So I would love to say the chaos would go away, but more important, your sins can go away and you won't have to face an angry God on Judgment Day if you'll repent and trust. So can I at least encourage you to think about it, my young friend?
I've already been doing some thinking on my own.
All right. Hey, that's all I can ask you to do. Just put this in the pot and stir it around and get yourself right with God, okay?
Okay.
Witness Wednesday continues on Wretched Radio.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
So it's a Saturday night. There you are on your computer and you decide, I'm going to watch a video of John MacArthur. And then the very next thing you know, you've been up for 3 hours deep into YouTube watching a baby giraffe trying to stand up. Yeah, we've all been there. Well, instead of watching random videos and losing all sense of time, visit wretched.org. You'll find hundreds of hours of biblically-based TV and radio and a library full of hand-picked content specifically for you. Over 2,400 30-minute TV programs with subjects ranging from abortion and apologetics to systematic theology and hermeneutics. And Wretched's hour-long radio programs, posted every day, they tackle the tough issues Christians face today. So the next time you're wandering around the web and watching baby giraffes trying to stand up, why not head on over to wretched.org, the home of all things wretched. Wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed with the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club, serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is poetry. Poetry relies on imaginative and figurative language to expand on a theme, examine emotions, and reflect on who God is and what He has done. God's timeless truth is written down by biographers and artists alike. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Speaking of fishing, you ready to go?
Yes.
All righty. Are you ready to go? Thanks for the segue.
Todd, why don't you sort of sing? Join in.
Okay, I'll do that right now.
I want to hear it, Todd.
Oh, with the button on.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Oh, that's different. I can't do the rapid part. Otherwise, next time, right?
Yeah, next time.
Yeah. Because that's my singing. Well,
yeah, but
you've never
so
heard anything like it.
Todd, I'd be witnessing with more zeal if I could hear you singing in the background.
Why don't I just do it while you're witnessing? How's that, mister?
Interesting.
Trust me, until I get my glorified voice, you don't want to hear it. Oh, Trish.
Hi, Todd.
Hello. You can sing. I've heard you sing.
Me?
You sing well.
I will never sing on the radio for you, Todd.
No, but you've got a video.
Just pulled it up, Todd.
So what song are you going to sing for us now, Trish?
Well, I'm actually going to sing a song called "I'm Going to Hand You Over to My Friend Named Danny," who is a Buddhist. And
is that what it is?
And that will take the pressure off me. No, I'm actually at a college, and I found a gentleman named Danny, and he's an engineer. He wants to go to school, or he is going to school, and he wants to be an electrical engineer? Civil engineer. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got it all wrong.
Hey, wait a second. He's a Buddhist. He can't want anything.
Yeah, he kind of, his family, or his mom was a Christian, right, Danny? Or both of his parents, but he hasn't really adopted that for himself and doesn't really believe in it. He kind of has adopted like the Buddhist thought, Buddhist thinking.
All right. Let's have a chit-chat with Danny the Buddhist, shall we?
You're live on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Danny. How you doing?
Great.
Appreciate you coming on the program. Could you tell me a little bit about Buddhism? I understand you're a Buddhist.
No, not exactly.
So out of 1 to 10, how committed are you to Buddhism?
I read a couple of books and took a class on religion and kind of agree a lot with Buddhism and just kind of Eastern religions.
What is it that attracts you to them?
The spiritualness of it, the fact that you don't need too many, you don't need to really believe
too rules.
Much. Well, yeah, that's sort of, it's not too restricted.
Yeah.
It's a lot more open, and it's a lot more about how you act around people and how that affects how people affect each other. By what they, how they act to each other, not necessarily having to follow like a rule, like too many like rules or anything like that. Or like a savior having one specific person that they that you should worship.
Oh, okay. So, do you think Christianity's got too many rules?
I think Yeah, a little. I think a lot of the monotheistic religions have a sort of too many rules. I think they kind of the concept is good about how, you know, goodwill toward others, but I think a lot of people get too fanatic about those kinds of religions. I mean, same with some of the other ones, but you notice that there's a lot of Eastern religions that don't have as many as fanatic as people as monotheistic religions.
So, Danny, are you an atheist?
Oh, no, not at all.
You know, Buddhism is kind of atheistic at core?
Yes, I do know that.
Yeah, so you believe in God's existence?
Yeah, yes, I do.
Why?
Because there's, I think it's, I think science is a more, I think science was created by, not necessarily our, well, there's like a God as a creator. It doesn't have to necessarily, it's not necessarily one person. It's not necessarily one thing. I just think it's just this, you know, something that's unexplainable by human beings.
Do you think this creator of all things is intelligent?
Yes, I think so.
Let's call, do you think this creator of all things believes in right and wrong?
I think I think the creator creates, and then it's up to whoever the creation to get that out for themselves.
So let's call this creator, just for want of a better word, God. Your concept of God is that he's extremely intelligent, but he's got no sense of right and wrong.
He doesn't enforce the right and wrong himself.
So when he sees a woman get raped,
or itself, or whatever.
If a woman gets raped and murdered, this God of yours doesn't have any care about that?
No, on a grander scale, because the fact that the woman gets raped and killed, that person who does the raping and killing, it will come back around full circle on them. And that's how they get.
So he'll feel guilty or something like that?
The criminal?
Yeah.
Well, whether it's a spiritual, emotional, or physical thing that happens to him, it comes back around.
Okay, well, let's just follow that reasoning. Why then do we have court systems? I mean, why bother if you really believe in the concept that you're talking about, you wouldn't really want to have police or court systems or judges, because if someone commits a terrible crime, they'll pay for it in the long run, so there's no big deal. Is that your philosophy?
Well, not exactly, because not everybody believes that, and not everybody has that.
Yeah, but if we could enforce that, if that could be enforced, that would be the ideal, where a man can rape and kill a woman, and then it'll come back round to him another time. Tell me, how would Hitler's karma come back to him? 6 million Jews, including little children that he had murdered. He feel really guilty?
Well, no. I mean, it just can't be just really guilty. The Nazis or the Germany, and there's a lot of has been known in infamy. That right there is something that sort of balances.
Okay, let's just time's going, and I don't want to miss out on what I'd like to share with you. If there is a heaven, Danny, do you think you're good enough to go there?
If there was a heaven?
Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
You think you're a good person?
I think I'm a good person.
Okay, here's the test. This is the standard God's going to judge with on the day of judgment. You shall not lie. How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
Countless.
Okay. How many things do you think you've stolen in your life? Quite a few?
A few things, yes.
Okay, so you're a lying thief?
And depends on the person who believes that. I mean, if you want to look at it as me as a lying thief, then I guess I am.
Now, Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust after her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Have you used God's name in vain?
Yes, I have.
Okay, Danny, here's a quick summation. This is by your own admission. I'm not judging you, but you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And you have to face God on Judgment Day, whether you believe there's a Judgment Day or not. So here's a big if. If he judges you by the Ten Commandments, and we've looked at four of them, on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I think within Christianity's rules, yes, I'd be very guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell according to that standard?
According to that standard, I'd go to hell.
That concerned you?
No, because I don't believe that.
Well, think of a criminal who stands in front of a judge, and the judge says, you raped that woman and murdered her. And he says, yeah, judge. And then the judge says, you go in the electric chair. And you say, judge, it doesn't concern me because I don't believe in the electric chair. It's crazy. The judges say, take him away. The guy's nuts. Just because we don't believe in something, it doesn't go away. And Danny, God gave you a conscience, so you know right from wrong. So every time you lied or stole or blasphemed or looked with lust, you've done it with knowledge that it's wrong. And you have to give an account on the day of judgment. And of course, it must concern you that if you died today, you'd go to hell. Now tell me, what's your understanding of the cross? You're brought up in a Christian home?
Yeah, it was, you know, somewhat Christian. My dad was, he was baptized, but we never really went to,
what about your mom?
In church or anything. Same with my mother, she really didn't go to any, service or anything like that.
So. Well, Danny, let me just tell you what happened on that cross, and you give me your thoughts. You're in debt to God's law. You're in big trouble. What God did is he provided a savior to pay your fine, so he could dismiss your case. That's what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus suffered and died on the cross. When he was on the cross, he was being bruised for our iniquities. He was taking the punishment for the crimes that we committed so that God could forgive us because of a substitutionary payment. And then he rose from the dead and defeated death, and what you've got to do is repent and trust in him. Danny, the minute you do that, God will forgive your sins, all those secret sins that God has seen, and he'll grant you the gift of everlasting life. There's nothing more important than your salvation. I'll just ask my friend Todd to talk to you for a moment.
Hey, how are you doing, man?
Great.
Ryan, you've been getting preached at a little bit.
A little. Fine, that's good.
You're okay with that? All right. Dude, so kind of a different thing. You know, Buddhists believes that, you know, you can kind of make up for your bad by doing some good. What that guy just presented is, no, you can't. You got to be punished unless somebody pays your fine for you. So, hey, just think about it today, okay?
Okay, sure.
The offer is, yeah, there's rules, but he's God. He gets to write the rules. That seems fair. If we've broken the rules, the good news is he's taken the punishment we deserve. It's really good news. So would you please consider the good news offer to save your soul from going to hell?
Oh, absolutely. I always have an open mind about everything.
All right. Well, we're hoping you'll process it and then close it and trust Jesus, because otherwise you're in big trouble. All right, dude?
Okay.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for the chat. Appreciate it very much.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. One's work righteous. The other one's good news. Why would you want to reject such good news?
Until next time, go serve your king.